You're listening to a sermon from Lagos Baptist Church. Lagos exists by God's grace to reach our neighbors and the nations with the good news of Jesus Christ. You're invited to worship with us this Sunday morning. Sunday school meets at 9 a.m. and our worship service begins at 10 a.m. And now, today's message from God's Word.
I invite you, if you have a copy of God's Word, to turn to the New Testament letter of 1 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, as we are just getting underway in our study of this wonderful, wonderful truth to the church, written originally, Church of the Thessalonians, very, very early New Testament letter. I would say 1st, 2nd Thessalonians and Galatians would be among the earliest of the New Testament documents that we have, and we are just working through the introduction as not just working through, I mean, in our early study of the book. It's glorious and good. Evidences of the saving power of the gospel in the Thessalonians. So it's a really remarkable church. And last week we were looking at the fruit and cause of their conversion. And this week we're looking at evidences. When Paul and Silas and Timothy look at this church, here are things that jump out that they just spot in them and see in them. And really, really powerful. And encouraging to us and challenging, and candidly, I think for me and for you, I come away from this thinking that we are, we're living beneath, many of us, beneath the level that we ought to be living for Christ. I have been following over the last couple of months a great brother in Christ, a former Nebraska Senator Ben Sass, and I don't know if any of you have been following the last couple months. He was feeling fine, diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer, and he most recently was president of University of Florida, stepped down from that about, I don't know, maybe close to a year and a half, 2 years ago, with his wife, had some health issues, and but Ben Sass, great brother in Christ, brilliant, brilliant mind. And in an interview I was watching this week, I would commend to you, it's like 59 minutes, and you know, we might do that at the men's meeting next week, but you watch those 59-minute interview, and you'll call me and thank you, and thank me for me encouraging you to do that. But he says something in there, and he talks about he decided to have treatments for the cancer to hopefully get a few more weeks. And he said, because he's got a young son at home, a 14-year-old son, he said, it's got to become a man much quicker, sooner than should be. And the close friend that's interviewing him talks about that since Ben Sass knows he's dying, and he replies that something we need to ponder. And Ben knows that he's dying, and I know that I'm dying, and I know that you're dying. And we just don't know when. And if we will live with that mindset, and by the way, he said two things he would do different, and boy, this is like an arrow in my heart that this cancer has taught him. He looks back, he said he would do two things. Think about this, men. I've been sometimes the most ambitious human being to a fault. He said he would invest more in his family, and he would give greater priority to the Lord's day. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? Weeks away from death. He said, man, he didn't say I'd invest more time. Degree from Harvard and Yale, right? Brilliant. That's pretty stout, isn't it? Brilliant politician, gifted in so many ways, and said I'd invest more in my family and in my church. And so today, I say that to say as introduction, this is really, really helpful. Evidences of the saving power of the gospel in Thessalonians. We look at a church that Paul, I picture Paul and Silas and Timothy saying, let's pray, guys. Let's gather around and pray here for the Thessalonian believers. And when we pray for them, you're going to see in verses 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10, here's what they see in them. And so I think it's aspirational. This is aspirational. We aspire this complimentary, oh, that these things humbly could be said about us. So, glorious, glorious passage that we have. If you're able, will you stand? I'm going to read. I'm going to start there in 1 Thessalonians 1:1. And I'm going to read down to the end of the chapter, verse 10. And we'll focus our study this morning on verses 6 through 10, which is where we left off after last week. The word of the Lord from 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians and God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the presence of our God and Father, knowing, brethren beloved by God, his choice of you. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction, just as you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. You also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith toward God has gone forth, so that we have no need to say anything. For they themselves report about us what kind of a reception we had with you and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath to come. Amen and amen. The word of the Lord, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for your word. We thank you that your word reveals Christ so clearly. We thank you for Christ, the hope that we have in him. We thank you, even as we read in those verses, his finished work. God, that he has died, that you have raised him from the dead, and that he is our rescuer. He rescues us from the wrath, God, your wrath that we deserve. We thank you for the church that we're reading about in this passage, and we thank you for the Logos body of believers. Lord, we want to be like them. We want to follow the example that we see in Scripture. Help us in a distracted day to live with urgency, to recognize how short the time is. We pray that you would accomplish in us today all that you desire, God, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So as mentioned, evidences of the saving power of the gospel in the Thessalonians. I was witnessing to a close friend this week, doesn't live in this area, this country even. And hey, we were talking some about what's happening in his country and Muslims trying to take over. And he said something interesting. He said, well, you Christians want to do that. You want to take over. And I came back and explained that very differently. You don't convert anyone to Christianity at the edge of a sword. But I was telling him, because I love him, I want him to be a Christian. Because I want him to be in heaven when he dies, I want him to be a Christian. And so the evidences, if we have met Christ, evidences of the saving power of the gospel in the Thessalonians. Here's what I want us to be confident in. The gospel of Jesus Christ is powerful. It is very, very powerful. We have, throughout my life, we've lived in a culture that has made it pretty normative for a lot of people to play like they're Christians. And play Christians give people the impression that the gospel's not very powerful. But the gospel is powerful. We need to shape our understanding of the gospel from the Word of God. And what we've got in here, we've got an early New Testament letter that Paul has been run out of town on a rail. They didn't have rails then, I know. But he's been run out of town in a hurry. And he's writing just a couple of months after the church has been planted. And we see these Christians, and they're following Jesus' example, Paul's examples. They're examples to the world in their witness. And sometimes we'll be Christians 20, 30, 40 years, and if we just got honest and said, let me ask you, when have you ever witnessed anybody? Did you witness anybody this week? You'd be like, well, not in word, maybe. Maybe you did. Maybe you witnessed all, but I'm saying that we have dumbed down Christianity, that we don't even hardly recognize the New Testament version. And this morning, I want us to look and be challenged and encouraged and aspirational looking at the New Testament version. Evidences of the saving power of the gospel in Thessalonians. Number one, joy in Christ despite hostility and opposition. Look at verse 6. They were a joyful people. Joy in Christ despite hostility and opposition. Joy is contagious. When you interact with people that are full of joy, look at verse 6. You also became, now I love this, they were not always this. They met Jesus, look at verse 6. After they heard the gospel, they met Jesus, they became something that they were not before. Here is a question for us. Do we look different than we used to look? If you still act, still think, still walk with all those dispositions and attitudes and sins that you used to walk in, you haven't met King Jesus. Because when King Jesus meets you, he affects change in your life. And verse 6 says, you also became. I love that. Verse 7 says, so that you became. Well, that begs a question. What have we become? So that you became. I love that. Look at verse 6. You also became. Now, this is interesting. Paul said that those Thessalonian Christians became imitators. You also became imitators of us. That's Paul, Silas, Timothy, the people that preached to them. So here these new believers were imitating Paul. Look, and they imitated Jesus. You also became imitators of us and of the Lord. How did they imitate Jesus and Paul? Well, a lot of people say, well, how they received the word. Jesus didn't receive the word. Jesus didn't receive the word. Jesus is the word. Amen to that. Find how Jesus responded to the gospel. No, Jesus is the gospel. So it clearly doesn't mean in how they responded to the word. Look at this. How did they imitate Paul, Silas, Timothy, and the Lord Jesus Christ, having received the word in much tribulation? Listen, they imitated Jesus and Paul and his brothers and how they responded to adversity, hostility, suffering. And you know how they did it? Look at your text. With joy. And by the way, it's not a joy that you can manufacture. Look at this. Just stick with the text. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word. Look, they were birthed. Their new birth was in the midst of suffering, hostility, opposition, trial. And they did that joyfully. Now, by the way, this, we need God. I need thee every hour. With the joy of the Holy Spirit. So they became imitators of Paul and of the Lord Jesus Christ in how they walked faithfully for Christ joyfully. And by the way, in much tribulation, adversity, suffering, joy of the Holy Spirit. Now this is where we take this and we open this word and say, God, help us, because joy, where's the joy come from?
Joy of, words mean things. Joy of the Holy Spirit. Joy that they got from the living God, third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit. Listen, if we're going to have joy in the midst of suffering, and who's going to suffer? All of us. If we're going to be joyful in the midst of that, we've got to have God the Holy Spirit do a divine work in us. You will miss this and fail miserably by, it's what, 1040. You will fail by 1045 if you say, I'm going to joyfully pull myself up by my bootstraps. It just doesn't work. I love that, the joy of the Holy Spirit. So here's my question under this first point, joy in Christ despite hostility and opposition. Is Christian living, is living for Jesus taught or caught? Is it taught or caught? Paul says, you became imitators of us. Now here's what I want to say. Clearly, it must be taught. Christianity must be taught. You cannot be a Christian unless you are taught. You have to believe, you have to know and believe the right things, doctrine, to be saved. It must be taught. And I think you can't overplay it being taught, but just stay with me. You can disagree. I think we've overplayed. I think we've acted like it can be purely taught. And we've downplayed how much it is to be caught. So we just say, we'll just have more sessions where we teach the word. We just teach. Let's just teach more. Teach. Praise the Lord. I've given my life. I love. Praise God. He has called me, allows me to preach his word. What a joy that is. Paul says, you became imitators of us and of the Lord. How do you imitate? What has to happen for you to imitate? You have to see somebody in action, and you have to see them do something. I guess that's a golf screen. You don't want to imitate me. I don't play but like once every 30 months, and it's not pretty. I promise you, you'll get behind me, because that's probably the safest place that you might not get hit. But you imitate. We did a bunch of research when I moved into the home office in New Jersey, the drug company I work for, and we went out and we hired this research company out of Chicago, ZS Associates. We paid them a gazillion dollars. You might want to work for a company like that. They send big invoices. We said, we want you to go study our 1,000 managers. Go study them. And tell us what makes managers great, makes their team perform, produce winners, go to awards meeting all the time. Here's one of the things they came back. And they said the best, by the way, all truth comes from God's truth. They came back and they said the best managers, guess what they are? They are show how coaches. It's what Paul's saying. They don't tell people what to do. They tell them and show them. Let me tell you, Christianity is to be told and shown. He's commending the Thessalonians because, this is not what I'm saying, it's God's word. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. They looked at Paul and his brothers, and they looked at the Lord Jesus, and they walked like Jesus and those brothers. That's challenging, isn't it? By the way, everybody in here, we need to be aspiring to walk in a way that we could humbly say, you want to know how to be a Christian, sister, you know, girl to girl, you just follow me. I'll show you how to do it. In a humble, Christ-honoring way, that ought to be what we're aspiring to, because that's what Paul, listen, they're at prayer time saying, thank you, Lord, for the Thessalonians, because they became imitators of Jesus Christ and of us. So here's a way we can grow at Logos. At Logos, we need to work more. We need to always maintain a standard that God's word is going to be taught. But we need to work, aspire, pray, and labor that we will be faithful to create an environment and invest in each other that God's word and living for Jesus can be caught. We need to be imitators. We need to be following each other's example. They were a joyful people, number one. Ooh, I got to speed up. Joy in Christ despite hostility and opposition. Listen to this from 2 Corinthians. By the way, It's not how you start, it's how you what? It's how you finish. And I wonder, like, how did this church finish? Well, listen, we catch up with them about 7 years later. Paul references them in 2 Corinthians. Were they still joyful? Were they pressing on? Listen to what he says in 2 Corinthians 8. Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God which has been given in the churches of Macedonia. By the way, that's Thessalonica, because they're the capital of Macedonia. The grace of God which has been given in the churches of Macedonia. Listen to this. 7 years later, that in a great ordeal of affliction, they're still what? Suffering. Their abundance of joy. They're still suffering and they're still joyful. Ah, you look in on them year one. How are y'all doing? I'm so concerned about you. We got run out of town. Tell me how you're doing. And Paul said, oh, we got the report. They're pressing on. They're imitating Jesus and imitating us. I love that. 7 years later, in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty, they're poor, suffering, and joyful. Boy, that just blows up the prosperity gospel, doesn't it? Why are those people so excited? You know, surely God gave them health, wealth, and no, actually, they are suffering and they're poor and they're joyful. Man, we want to get in on that. In a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. They're giving to others. These poor people are joyfully giving to others. So the first evidence is joy in Christ despite hostility and opposition. Boy, when circumstances, so many times if circumstances are challenging for us, get ready for a long social media post of how sorry, how bad, how difficult, woe is me. That we are so self-absorbed. This is convicting. Second evidence, transform lives that we're an example to others. This is so amazing. Transform lives that we're an example to others. And it's like, give us a dose of the Thessalonian believers. Verse 6 said, you also became imitators of us. So they imitated Jesus and the apostles. Verse 7 says, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. So they were, verse 6, they were imitating Jesus. Well, verse 7, by the way, this is the only church in the New Testament that gets this kind of recognition, commendation. Paul says, you birthed out of a riot. Remember Jason thrown in jail, get him out of town, all this, and they're run off to Berea. Paul's now, a couple months later, riding back from Corinth. Now he said, listen, the church of the Thessalonians, you became the pattern. You became that, so that, look, that verse 7, so that you became an example. I love that. A typos, a model, a mold, a pattern, an example. The gospel was working in them. This just convicts me. The gospel was working in them so powerfully in a couple of months, affecting change in them, that they became an example, look, to the whole country, to the whole region, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. So they became the pattern. I love what Leon Morris said about this. This is the only place in the New Testament this occurs. This is high praise. For in the first place, Paul calls no other church a pattern. And in the second, he thinks of the Thessalonians as an example, not only to the heathen, but also to Christians throughout all of Greece. He said, in a way we would say, you want to follow Christ? Join the church of the Thessalonians. You became an example. That is profound. So their lives were so different that they became an example to others. Wait till you see what he's going to say about that in the next verse. I'll show you. Third evidence. They were bold and zealous. The evidence was bold and zealous witness of Jesus. They were witnesses. And it was immediately, by the way, you would almost be like, how can they be saved for a couple of months? And be pressing on and suffering and difficulty. Surely we gotta they gotta be a member for like 10 years before they can tell other people about Jesus. No, that would be like the culture that we live in. You would think, well, hey, my neighbor needs to hear about Jesus. Call the pastor and tell him to come talk to my neighbor. Listen, the Thessalonians didn't get that email. Can you come talk to my friend? Because my friend's lost, the Thessalonians. Listen, man, this just convicts me. They met Jesus and they started telling other people about Jesus. And we can have the invitation right now, couldn't we? You say, where do you get this from? Well, I get it from God's word. Look at verse 8. This bold and zealous witness of Jesus. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you. The word of the Lord is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord has sounded forth from you. Listen to this. Not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith toward God has gone forth so that we have no need to say anything. So the gospel they're carrying it. They're making Jesus known. They quickly got the call to missions. And by the way, the Thessalonians in the far north had already affected people as far south as Achaia, which is several weeks' journey by land or sea. Even though Paul's just writing a couple of months, several months after the church was planted. When I run sometime, I like running. You ever run somebody, if you're a runner and you run with someone a lot faster than you, it is motivational and depressing. I remember there was this guy, he ran for Ohio State, and we worked for the same company, so we'd end up at meetings, and he'd be like, hey, we're going to run in the morning. And Sean Alcott, he would run out for me, like he'd get out where I couldn't hardly see him, and he'd turn around and come back like, hey, you doing okay, you know? And I'm like, I'm great, man. He's like, the Thessalonians make me feel like they leave us in the dust. Verse 8, the word, the gospel, they met Jesus. They didn't get the memo that you're supposed to just like keep that to yourself. The gospel, word of the Lord is sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Now listen to this, the end of verse 8 is profound. But also in every place your faith toward God has gone forth so that they have no need to say anything. Let me tell you what he says. We've gone to a lot of places and we started to set up to preach Jesus and we just closed up and went to the next town because you had already told them about Jesus. We didn't need to. That's pretty profound, isn't it? Mark that list off, Timothy. We can skip this town. Thessalonians got it covered. How about that for church competition? Not in a bad way. Like, wait, we got our neighborhood. We're good. Your church gets your neighbor, right? No. By the way, somebody having to come into our neighborhood to tell somebody about Jesus, we have failed. Evidence, bold and zealous witness of Jesus. So here's what, first three, and I'm going to go faster. Joy in Christ. Am I joyful in Jesus? Despite opposition, hostility, has my life looked different that people would say, I can look at David and follow Jesus? Could people be around me and say, I'm going to tell you what, nobody else needs to witness those people. David's around them, so if David's around them, they've heard about Jesus. Neighborhood David lives in, everybody, you don't really have to go over there. Fourth evidence, a decisive turn from their old ways to Christ. The evidence was change, a decisive turn. And I showed you this. I love, look at verse 6. You also became. That's the power of Jesus. Doesn't matter how unlike Jesus we are when we meet him. Jesus can affect dramatic change. You also became, verse 7. So that you became. Drop down to verse 9. For they themselves, the people that are following the example, seeing the example, the believers that are seeing these Thessalonians and all the people in Macedonia and Achaia that are hearing about them, for they themselves report about us what kind of a reception we had with you. And here's what's remarkable, how you turned to God from idols. So they heard about Jesus, and by the way, they were by and large pagans. They were by and large pagans because he says before they were worshiping idols. I love this. Idols who are dead to serve, to know, and to serve what? To serve a living and true God. They were worshiping dead and false gods. They're idols. And so they made a decisive turn. We list the order of service, and you know, it's like, and there's nothing special, by the way, about that time of the end of the sermon. You know, we talk about the invitation, but here's what the Bible tells us about the Thessalonians. They made a decision from the heart that stated, declared, announced, and followed through to say, I have decided to follow Jesus. That's what they did. Yeah. How you turned. Have we turned? Have you turned? How you turned. By the way, isn't that what salvation is? How you turned to God. They turned to, they turned from idols to God. Now listen to this from Acts 17. We looked at this last week. Tells us a lot about the makeup of the church. The church of the Thessalonians had some believing Jews, and it had some God-fearing Gentiles, but by and large, this is how powerful Jesus is. It was just pagans who were worshiping idols before. They meet Jesus, and then within days, weeks, and a couple of months, they've already made Jesus known. How about that? Acts 17. Verse 1, and when they had traveled through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And according to Paul's custom, he went to them, and for three Sabbaths, here's the birth of this church. For three Sabbaths, reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and giving evidence that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, this Jesus whom I'm proclaiming to you is the Christ, and some of them were persuaded. So some of those Jews were believing. Some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas along with a number of the God-fearing Greeks. So that's Gentiles, right? And a number of the leading women. Well, we know from 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 9 that by and large the church was built from pagans. And they turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God. So idols who are lifeless, and they met Jesus who is living. Have we had an evidence? They had a decisive turn from their old ways to Christ. Have we had a decisive turn that our taste and our talk and our attitude and our demeanor and how we relate, how easy or difficult we are to get along with, has that been different? Or people just say, he's an ornery old dude. And by the way, I've been to a lot of good funerals. I've been to some bad funerals. The bad funerals, you know, sort of like, well, you know, he was a member of the church for 40 years. He was difficult and mean and stubborn, and nobody get along with, and people avoided him, but praise God, he's in heaven. Man, don't stand up there and lie. You don't know if he's in heaven or not. If he had fruit like that, I'll just leave that with the Lord. But I'm not going to wax eloquently. It's serious. Ben Sass is dying. No, I'm dying. You're dying. I might die before Ben. You might die before Ben. We better get serious. They made a decisive turn from their old ways to Christ. Love that old hymn. I have decided to follow Jesus. Have you decided to follow Jesus? That's all that's going to matter. That's all that's going to matter at the end. And by the way, they're about to talk to about the end right here. So fifth evidence. They endured the evidence of enduring temporary trials with assurance of Jesus' return. It's a theme of the letters to the Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd. Enduring temporary trials with assurance of Jesus' return. Look at verse 10. I love this. They turned, verse 9, to God from idols to serve. I love that. Turn to God, serve God. And look, verse 10. Y'all, this is not all there is. And to wait for his son from heaven. Here's the game changer for those of us that are in Christ.
The gospel is true. The gospel is powerful. This life is not all there is. When this life ends, we will stand before the living and true God. And if in that standing we are with Christ, if in this life we have trusted in Christ, if we have turned to God truthfully, if we have repented of our sins and placed our faith in Christ, we will live in eternity with God in ways that make this life look like the 12-inch black and white 1960 TV. And what kept them pressing on was they got a hold of how wonderful Jesus was and how glorious the treasure that Jesus is in this life, but in the life to come. And just like our brother read in Philippians 3:20, so many times we say, if we come up to you and say, hey, where's your citizenship? You'll say, it's in the United States of America. And I'm with you, brother. Praise the Lord that we get to live in the United States. But that is so secondary, that one won't matter for long. Our citizenship, Paul says in Philippians 3:20, is in heaven, for where we eagerly wait for a Savior. And that's what the Thessalonian church is. They're gathering around at prayer time, thanking God, saying, you know what those Thessalonians are doing? They're looking to the sky to wait for His Son from heaven. I want to tell you, I think of Hebrews 12. 1 through 3. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down. I'm too encumbered, Hebrews 12, verse 1, with stuff that's going to rot and rust. And I'm not taking up enough in that which is as eternal and lasting and glorious and forever. And the Thessalonians, hey, listen, it's almost like they didn't have a bunch of Bible Belt people around them to mess them up. They just heard about Jesus, didn't know that it was bad to be birthed out of a knockdown, drag-out mob, came out of there, started following Jesus' example, Paul's example, started being examples to others, started telling other people about Jesus. It's almost like, hey, y'all, let's don't mess up that church over there in Thessalonica. They sort of got it going on. That they look foreign. Now, here's what the Bible would say. Maybe we're foreign. Enduring temporary trials. Guess what? Every trial we endure is temporary. Whatever trial you're right now enduring, it is temporary. There's a period going to be at the end of that sentence. Enduring temporary trials with assurance of Jesus' return. The last evidence, and I'm done. The evidence of trust in the person and work of Christ alone for right standing with God. Trust. They demonstrated trust in the person and work of Jesus alone for right standing with God. Look at verse 10. We'll go quickly. Verse 9 said they turned to God from idols. And by the way, they did that from the heart. They turned, and then they showed up to serve a living and true God and to wait for His Son from heaven. By the way, that His Son, Jesus is the Son of God. That's very unusual language for Paul to use. It's all over the Gospels. But to wait for God's Son, to turn to God, He's the living and true God, and to wait for His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, by the way, from heaven, He descended from heaven in the incarnation. He has ascended back into heaven, and He's going to descend back for us. They're waiting for His Son from heaven. And by the way, speaking of His Son, Jesus is the one whom God raised from the dead. And so I love this. He takes us straight to Jesus' person, His Son. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus' work, whom He raised from the dead. Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures, the Bible tells us. He was buried. He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. And so Paul's capturing all that. Wait for God's Son.
who's coming from heaven, who God raised from the dead. And then I love this. He says, let me be clear. That is Jesus. And by the way, he is the rescuer who rescues us from the wrath to come. You go, I don't know that I need rescue. Don't you love that in the movies now, you know, where you got like the red dot on you know, you're walking around, you know, it's like, what's that? I'm like, dude, somebody's fitting to shoot you. We're walking around. If you're outside of Christ, you got the biggest divine red dot on you that's God's wrath. You should be terrified. And you can go in the darkest room and get under the deepest bed and get in the deepest, darkest dungeon, and that red dot's still there. Because God is holy and we're not. We're sinful. And Jesus is so wonderful. Let me tell you who he is. He's God's son. And we can just chase that. But God himself has come down and taken on flesh. And so God's son certainly can represent us before God. And then Jesus' work. And Paul just takes a snippet of it because he's introduction here in the prayer time, whom he raised from the dead. Well, when did that happen? Well, Jesus, let me tell you something. The perfect sinless Son of God went all the way to the cross voluntarily, and he hung on Calvary's cross, the innocent one for the guilty ones. And it pleased the Lord to crush him, putting him to grief. And Jesus was crucified on the cross in Calvary, just like the Bible tells us. And Jesus poured out his blood, and he breathed his last. And the professional executioner, the centurion, the standing there in front of him, looked around at his execution crew and said, I'll tell you something, that's the Son of God right there. And Nick and Joe took him down. Joseph Arimathea, Nicodemus, gathered up courage, the Bible says. Go to Pilate, that could be a dangerous thing. Can we bury him? Hurried to do it before Sabbath. So Joseph Arimathea, pretty wealthy man by the world standard, had a tomb. Jesus didn't need it, but for just a short period of time. So I won't need this grave for long. So I guess Joe let him borrow it. So they bury him in that tomb. And y'all, 3 days later, God raised Jesus from the dead. And 40 days later, he ascended back into heaven. And Paul said the Thessalonians were so taken up and blown away with Jesus that they are hooking their hope, waiting for Jesus to come back from heaven for them. How about that? That'll make you bold. That'll make you zealous. And so I love that. They're trusting the person and work of Christ alone for their salvation. So I love that Jesus, the rescuer, Jesus who rescues us from the wrath to come. So you're in one of two states this morning. You're either one who's been rescued. By the way, follow the grammar there. Jesus who rescues us. By the way, on the cross, he rescued us, but he is the rescuer. Or, by the way, we could turn over to John 3. It's where sermons get longer. And you could say, he's going to 3:16. Well, yes, but I would keep going. I would work on 16 to 36, and I would say, here's what Jesus clearly tells us there, that if you are not in Christ, God's wrath right now abides on you. So see, here's how we like to do business. We like to just dumb down, domesticate, make safe. The guy's like, so we go talk to people, and it's almost like, man, I know you're sort of on the fence, and you don't know if you're going to be a pagan, or you don't know if you're going to be a Christian, and I hope you'll be a Christian. Now, let me tell you something. You're either a pagan, or you belong to Christ. And you're 1 millisecond of a heartbeat away from standing before that true living God. That's reality. That's reality. Trust in the person and work of Christ alone for right standing. I love that. We get to the end of verse 10, and you go, because you could read this in a way that it'd almost be like going to the gym with a guy who's a lot stronger than me, or running with a guy who's a lot faster, and be like, well, take 2 plates off because now it's my turn. I can't lift quite as much. And we can preach this in a way that's like, we need to lift more, do more, lift more, do more. No, we need more of Jesus is what we need. How will we be more like the church of the Thessalonians? Listen, know and love Jesus more. Abide with Jesus more. How do you become an example? All right, I'm going to put on, you know, go to extreme makeover. I'm gonna put on all my makeup so I can go be an example for Jesus. It won't ever happen. They met Jesus. They turned to Jesus so that Jesus the rescuer. Lord, help us to abide in Jesus and to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead. That is Jesus who rescues us from the wrath to come. Let me tell you, being rescued from God's wrath ought to make me profoundly grateful and over the top in love with King Jesus. Hey, how foreign does this sound? You get rescued from somebody, how do you think you feel toward the rescuer? See, here's what I think. I think we lose sight of what we've been rescued from. I'm not so bad. She's a lot worse. How big a sin? No, boy, wrong standard, wrong. Blow that up. Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath to come. All right, three ways to summarize here. We've talked about all this, and I'm done. Applying the word we have studied. We'd be missing the boat if we didn't do this first one. Evaluate the evidence of our lives. Boy, I mean only in a contrite, before the Lord, humble, sincere, genuine that way. Not like, well, I want to evaluate my evidence. No. Say like, Lord, man, I look at this, and Lord, it just like knocks us to our knees. And Lord, I don't want to play games with you. You know me. You know me way better than I know myself, and I don't want to play games. Lord, I want to be right with you, and Lord, I want to come before you. And Lord, I see when I look at these believers in Thessalonica, Lord, that they imitated, man. They pressed on. Suffering didn't turn them away, and they did that joyfully. Lord, bring joy, spring joy up in me that I can't even comprehend. And Lord, I want to be an example, humble. I want to be an example to others where people would say, well, you might not even try to witness to people that David's around because he's got that covered. The word of the Lord sounded forth. Lord, that's what I don't, complaining, ingratitude. No, I want the word of the Lord sounding forth for me. Lord, I want my life to be marked by a decisive turn from sin, self, the devil, to Christ. And I want to serve, and I want to be eagerly waiting. So evaluate the evidence of our lives. Follow the pattern we see in this church. I think it'd be a good way to pray and say, Lord, make Logos like the Thessalonians. Lord, grow us. Lay this out. Lord, would you let this be said about us for your glory? Follow the pattern we see in this church. By the way, he's writing to the whole church. It's crazy. In a good way, crazy. Third, the evidences we see in today's passage flow from the root of Christ. Not do more. It's like meet Jesus. Treasure Jesus. Love Jesus. The evidences we see in today's passage flow from the root of Christ. Repent of our sin and trust in Jesus Christ alone. You say, well, he's saying that for lost people. No, that's for, by the way, yes, for lost people, we want you to repent and trust in Christ. But the Christian life is all of our days, joyfully, humbly, good days, bad days, rainy days, dark days, cold days, is repenting of our sins and treasuring Jesus, trusting Jesus, leaning into Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the gospel, Lord. Your word is so, Lord, it's so rich, so true, so clear, and Lord, a convicting passage, challenging passage. Your spirit, Lord, you know where each one of us are. Lord, you know not the facade that we present, but you know us, you know all of our sin, all our selfishness. In spite of that, you love us. Thank you that Jesus has rescued us, Lord, from your wrath. God, we want to live in light of Jesus' worth and who he is and what he has done. And Lord, I thank you so much for this church. Lord, I don't want to be critical of your bride, but Lord, we're oftentimes selfish and comfortable, anything but joyful many times, and Lord, we kick and scream against any suffering many times. And Lord, work in me, work in us. Lord, give us more of Jesus, less of ourselves. Change us. Lord, where there's good fruit, grow it. Where
weeds are growing, pull them out. Lord, I know it's easy to, in our culture, I thank you for all the good fruit of the Bible Belt culture, but it's easy to act Christian, hang around the church, know a lot of Bible verses, and yet never have made a decisive turn. So Lord, I pray you would examine each and every one of us. You would look into our hearts and examine us, and you would clearly reveal to us where we are with you. And Lord, I pray if there's a lost person or lost people, God, I pray that he or she would, they would turn from their sin to serve the living and true God, Jesus. Thank you, God, that you raised him from the dead. Thank you that we have the victory in Jesus. Lord, we are battling for victory, from victory, because of Jesus. So, Lord, we're not trying to be faithful so you'll be satisfied with us, Lord. You're satisfied with us in Christ, Lord, forever. Thank you that you have granted his righteousness to us. And so, Lord, help us to live out this gospel. Lord, work, we pray, in your church for our good and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon from Lagos Baptist Church. To learn more about Lagos, to plan a visit, or to reach out to our pastoral staff, visit us online at lagosdothan.org. We hope you'll join us in person this coming Sunday at Lagos Baptist Church.